Okay. All right, so now I would like to add one remark to my previous lecture. So if you remember, in that lecture I defined a torsion for a chain complex, provided the chain complex is acyclic and base. So C was supposed to be acyclic and base. Now, what one can do if the complex is not acyclic? So, suppose it is not acyclic. So, can one do anything in this case? Actually, one can do something, provided the homology of this complex is based. So, instead of assuming that C is acyclic, it suffices to assume that it is based and its homology is also based. So then you define a torsion which depends on these two bases. So how you do that? Assume that, say, each CI has a basis. So has a basis small CI, and each HI of C has a basis HI. So you proceed as in the definition in the cyclic case, instead of, except that instead of the basis BI, so if you remember, I fixed the basis BI, so in BI is the image of the boundary homomorphism from CI plus 1 to CI, and I fix here basis BI. Now I can use three bases. I have a basis BI of this image, I have a basis HI in homology, and I have a basis BI minus 1 in the image of the next homomorphism. So together, three of them define a basis in CI. So this thing is going to be a basis in CI. So to see this, you just observe that you have conclusions. So the BI, which lies inside cycles, so the I is cycles, that's the kernel of D I minus 1, and this guy lies inside CI. So BI is the basis here, HI is the basis in this quotient, so HI is the basis in ZI over BI. And finally, BI minus 1 is the basis in this quotient, because this quotient is nothing else but BI minus 1. So these three bases together give me a basis in CI, and then I proceed as before, that I form a conceived transition matrix, and I take its determinant to the power minus 1 I plus 1. I take the product of all I. So that's going to be the torsion of this complex C, which depends, of course, on the basis C and on the basis H. So in the non-acyclic case, you can also do something provided the homology is based. You have some control over the homology. All right. So that was an algebraic part of the story. And now I proceed to topology. So the next subject is torsion for the torsion of CW complexes. So what is a CW complex? That's a way how topologists used to view spaces. So a CW complex is formed by cells. So there are cells of dimension 0, these are points. And there are cells of dimension 1, these are arcs or loops. Now there are cells of dimension 2. These are cells of dimension 2 are two-dimensional disks which are glued here, and also the maps of their boundaries. Once we can map the whole boundary in one point, that will give you a cell like that. We can glue it here. So this gives you a cell like that. Or you may use more complicated maps. So basically, you glue a certain amount of two cells, of two disks, along certain maps of their boundary, with a one-dimensional skeleton, with a union of zero cells and one cell. Well, then you glue three-dimensional cells, and so on and so forth. For those who are not accustomed to this, you may just think about triangulations. Well, triangulations are better known, and it is a special case of CW. All right. Now, so my basic data is going to be a CW complex. So let's consider a CW complex X. Well, I suppose it would be finite, which means that there is only a finite number of cells. So it's, if you want, it's a finite triangulation, a compact space, and connected. Now, I consider it's one-dimensional homology, which I denote by H. So H is a group of one-dimensional homologies of X. That's an abelian group. In this case, it is finitely generated abelian group. It is the same thing as the quotient of the fundamental group by its commutator, so pi is a fundamental group. The next piece of data I need is a certain field, so I fixed the field F. F is a field. And I fix a ring homomorphism, phi, from the group ring of H to F. So this is a ring homomorphism. So Z of H is a group ring of this group H, which means that its elements are formal linear combinations of elements of H with integer coefficients. They form a ring. Addition is just additional formal linear combinations, and multiplication is induced by addition in H. It's a commutative associative ring with U. Alright, so this is my basic data. Starting from this data, I'm going to define a torsion tau phi of this space X, which is going to lie in F, and which is going to be the topological invariant of X. So that's the idea of this construction is due to Reitemeister and Franz. So this is a Reitemeister Franz torsion. So it dates back to 1935. All right, so how one defines this invariant? Well, the first thing is to consider the maximal abelian covering. So consider the maximal abelian covering of X. So that's a space, X tilde, provided as a projection X. Now the group H, this is homology group H, acts freely on X tilde. Freely means there are no fixed points. And the quotient of this action is the space X. So instead of giving a definition of what the maximum abelian covering is, a formal definition, it is essentially contained here. But I will just give an example. Example is x is a circle, and x tilde is the real line. Now the projection, well, is the usual exponential map. So the projection from real line to S1 maps any real number t to e to 2 pi I t. So S1 is a unit circle point. So this is the current projection. Now the group H here is integers, which acts on x tilde by translations. Acts on R by translations. All right. Now, what we can say in general about the space x tilde? First of all, the cell structure in X lifts to a cell structure in X tilde. So the CW structure in X lifts to X tilde. Well, which means that each cell downstairs can be lifted individually upstairs, but in many different ways, which are permuted by this action of H. So, for instance, in the case of the circle, if you fix a cellular structure which consists of one zero cell and one one-dimensional cell, that upstairs each zero cell leads to an infinite sequence of cells, and over the one cell leave an infinite sequence of one-dimensional cells. Now what we can form now is a chain complex. So what we form is a cellular chain complex. Of X tilde, which is denoted C star of X tilde. So what is this chain complex? Each cell in X tilde gives you a generator in the corresponding dimension, and the boundary homomorphism is determined by the boundary of this cell. Now, since the group H F here in the free way, in fact, this complex is a complex of modules over this group ring. So, in fact, this is a complex over the group ring. Now, this complex is free. How you can see this? Let me consider an example here. So here I have one zero cell. T0, 1 cell, T1. Now, over the cell E0, I have a lift. Let's choose one lift, say E tilde 0. And over the cell E1, I choose one lift, say this one, E1 tilde. This is the lift. Zero-dimensional chains are all... all other zero cells are just translations of this cell E tilde 0. So let me denote by T a generator of this group. So T is going to be a generator. It acts by translation to 1 to the right. So what you see that C0 in this case has only one generator, E0 tilde, and all other cells are just... multiples of this generator by certain powers of t. So this is one-dimensional module, but we also consider formal linear combinations of the cells. So this is one-dimensional model of the group ring Ct plus minus 1 with one generator, E0, T. Now this is just the group ring of my cyclic group. So for cyclic group, the group ring can be expressed like this. So C1 is the same, except that the generator is going to be this leaf. Now, what is the boundary homomorphism? The boundary homomorphism you can see very easily. So I assume E1 tilde is oriented from left to right. Then its boundary consists of two cells, this one with sign plus and this one with sign minus. So this one is going to be t cubed. So this is t cubed minus t squared of E0 t. So that's how you compute the boundary homomorphism in this case. But you can do it, of course, in an arbitrary dimension for arbitrary CW complex. So what you get a cellular chain complex over this ring. Now, we can consider its homology. So Hi, which depends, of course, on the phi. This is the i-th homology of this chain, what I want to do is to tensorize this complex with F. Now, that's a place where the field F appears and where I use phi. So I tensorize it with F over the H. So I better change the notation a little. So I consider this chain complex. So what I do, I consider this chain complex. So I take my chain complex of the maximal abelian covering, and I tensorize it with my field. Now ZH acts on the right by covering transformations, which I mentioned, and it acts on F via this homomorphism phi. So in this way, I can form this tensor product, and it is a chain complex. So this is a chain complex over F. Now I can consider its homology. So Hi phi of X is the i-th homology of this chain complex. So which vector space is over F? Because the chain complex is over F for all i's. So these are vector spaces over F. They are called twisted homology. So this is called, if you want, i-dimensional twisted homology. Now, so what happened? What happened is that provided I have such a data, a space, a CW complex X, a field, a ring homomorphism, I define certain version of homology. Now, what is the value of this homology? Quite interesting, because it's a homotopy invariant of X. So this homology is a homotopy invariant of X. So that's a strong point. For instance, if you subdivide your CW structure, right? If you take a smaller CW structure, well, subdivide your cells, you'll still get the same vector space. So they are invariant under cellular subdivisions. They are invariant, in fact, under arbitrary homotopy equivalences. In the same way as the usual homologies are, so you can compute them, say, by deformation interactions and so on. So the whole technique of homology applies to compute them.
and you can use them for solving some problems. That's a strong point, but at the same time it's a weak point, because if you have two spaces which are homotopy equivalent, you cannot distinguish them by this homology. So that's where the secondary invariant appears, the torsion. So the secondary invariant appears when this homology is trivial in all dimensions. So, let me... Now I assume that there is no homology, that the vector spaces are all trivial. So assume that H star phi of x is 0. Of course, you might say this cannot happen, but let's just assume it and see. In this case, I have this complex C phi star x, and this means that it is acyclic. So it is acyclic. Also, this complex is based. At least it is easy to make it based. Now I explain how to make it based. So this, for this end, I need a definition. I define the notion of a fundamental family of cells. In F tilde. So I recall you that X tilde is a cellular space, a CW space. So is a family of cells of X such that over each cell downstairs, over each cell of X lies exactly one cell of this family. So this is an important notion. So what you do, you take each cell downstairs and lift it in a specific way upstairs.
I think a family of cells of X tilde.
Of cells, it's a family, right. Thank you. So for instance, that was an example of fundamental family of cells here. It consists of two cells, this one and this one. Two cells, because downstairs there are two cells, two. So what happens is that each fundamental family of cells defines a basis in this complex, just exactly as in this example. So you choose a fundamental family of cells, and it gives you a basis. So, a fundamental family gives a basis in this complex C star phi x. Well, is it completely true? It is not completely true. It's almost true. Why? Well, first of all, if you remember the definition of this complex, it is formed by oriented cells. So, for instance, here I had to orient this cell in order to form this boundary. So, in fact, you need to orient the cells of this family. So, a fundamental family E provided with orientations. So, each cell should be oriented. If you invert the orientation of one cell, you get the opposite vector. in the chain model. So that's the first thing. And secondly, of course, what is a basis? For me, as I said, a basis means an ordered basis. So actually, the cells should be ordered. The cells in each dimension should be ordered. So the cells of E in each dimension should be ordered. Then that's okay, then we have a basis. Which of course depends on these choices, on the choice of the fundamental family, orientations, order, and so on. Now since I assume the complexes are cyclic, I can take its torsion. So the torsion tau phi of x is by definition the torsion of this acyclic based chain complex. It depends on this family of cells, which is an element of the ground field, but actually non-zero element. So this is the definition of the torsion in its simplest form. Now you may say that I make several choices. For instance, I choose these orientations, order. Also, I chose a fundamental family of cells. So what happens if I make different choices? For instance, if I invert orientation, then one of the basis vectors is multiplied by minus 1. And then you can guess the torsion is multiplied by minus 1. Well, the same with the order is that if I invert the order of two vectors, what happens with the determinant? It is multiplied by minus 1. The same happens with the torsion. Now, what happens if I take another family of cells? Well, basically, it means that instead of certain cell, say certain cell, say EI, I take another cell which lies over so EI tilde, which lies over a certain cell EI. I take another one which lies over the same cell. But this another one should be a translation of this one. So it should look like H, I, E, I, tilde, where H is an element of my group of Kalman transformation. So H is in H. So the only thing which I can do is the basis vectors, I can multiply them by certain specific elements. Now, what happens with the torsion when you multiply your basic vector by a constant? Because that's an element of the grouping. So, what happens with the torsion when you multiply an element by a basis vector by an element of the grounding? Well, the torsion is also multiplied by the same element, or by its inverse, depending on the parity of the dimension. So dimensions order even behave in a slightly different way. So what happens with the torsion? So the torsion is multiplied by the element phi of h to the power minus 1 to dimension of e I. So the torsion cannot behave in a very wild way. It can change its sign, and it can be multiplied by elements of this type. So the conclusion is that the torsion tau phi of x is defined, so that's an element of the ground thing, ground field, defined after multiplication by plus minus and the image of H. So it is not quite defined, but there is a lot of information which we need. Now, phi of H, of course,
phi of h lies never includes zero, so phi, phi of h lies in f star. That's because elements of h are invertible in the ground in the group ring. And the Voigt's image under phi is not zero. So I describe the construction of the torsion, I describe the indeterminacy and the definition. Now, this torsion is not a homotopy invariant. That's of course the main thing. It's not a homotopy invariant. That's why it allows to distinguish spaces which are homotopy equivalent, but not homeomorphic. So what can we say about the torsion? Theorem, which is essentially due to Reidemann and Franz, says that this torsion is invariant under cellular subdivisions. So that's a very important fact because it allows to define torsions for manifolds. So how you define it for a manifold? Say when I say manifold, I mean the PL manifolds. So this allows to define torsions for PL manifolds. Or for smooth manifolds. So if you take a PL manifold, it means you have a PL structure that you have distinguished class of triangulations, and they all any two of them have a common subdivision. So you take any of them, you apply this definition, and it gives you something independent on the choice of triangulation, because just any two have a common subdivision. Just a second.
Just a historical question. At the time, Reidemeister and Franz did that. They didn't have CW complexes. It hadn't been defined yet. So they just were working with triangulations, I suppose?
They had something like CW. Actually.
Sorry.
Maybe they didn't use these terms, but it was something like that. Now, you can apply the same thing to smooth manifolds, which is even more interesting, because every smooth manifold has a distinguished PL structure, which is formed by C1 triangulations. So if you have a smooth manifold, just take any C1 triangulation which is smooth, and in a certain specific case, in a sense, and then apply the definition. And the theorem ensures that what you get doesn't depend on the choice of triangulation. So indeed, it's very convenient invariant. You can explicitly compute it. Of course, triangulations usually are not convenient for explicit computations because they involve too many simplices. But you can take smooth CW decompositions. That's a pretty standard technique by now. All right. Now, the second theorem, which is more recent, it dates. Well, in comparison to Reidemeister and Franz, the second theorem is that the torsion is topological invariant. So it is invariant on the homeomorphisms. So that is the work of Chapman, Edwards, which I mentioned at the first lecture. Which means that, in particular, to some extent, it is a negative result. For instance, you have two smooth manifolds with the same underlying topological manifolds.
So if you want, you have two different smooth structures on the same topological map. Then you, there is no hope to distinguish the smooth structures using the torsion. So in this sense, it is negative. But very often it is very convenient to know that it is a homeomorphism in your own environment. So it was a big achievement in the 70s. All right, now let me just give you a couple of examples. So examples. We are going to compute the torsion in one specific case. So examples. So the first example is a circle. So X is a circle. F is a field of rational functions in one variable with rational coefficients. So phi is a homomorphism which maps the generator. So I recall that H is a cyclic, infinite cyclic group here. So phi maps the generator T into T. So I hope you forgive me this abuse of notation. So this ring here is the ring, I already said this is the ring of Laurent polynomials in one variable T. And phi is the inclusion of this ring into the ring of rational functions. So if you want, this is the inclusion. These are polynomials, possibly with negative powers of T. Of T. And phi is its inclusion into the field of rational functions. Now we are going to compute the corresponding torsion, tau phi of x. Well, to this end, we just use this picture. We have this. We take this CW structure, which consists of one zero cell and one one-dimensional cell. The chain complex of the maximal abelian covering is described here. Now we need to compute the complex C phi. Tau x. Now, C0 is of rank 1. That's why when you tensorize by f, you just get f. The same thing with C1. So actually, the complex looks like this, f to f. The modules of chains are one-dimensional. They're one-dimensional. And the homomorphism here is induced by this boundary. So this is going to be, well, with this choice of the basis, which is, of course, not the best one. So let me write it in this way. I keep information about the chosen basis. So this is one-dimensional vector space with generator E tilde 1. And this is one-dimensional base vector space with generator E tilde 0. And the boundary homomorphism, so this is a complex, the boundary homomorphism maps E tilde 1. This is induced by this formula, but we tensorize by F, so we just should apply phi to this coefficient. So this is phi of T cubed minus T squared. This is, of course, the same as phi of T squared times phi of T minus 1. Now, that's a very simple chain complex. It is one-dimensional, dimensions 1 and 0. So its torsion is... observe that this should be non-trivial. This is a non-trivial element, so it's an isomorphism. The torsion is indeed acyclic. The complex is indeed acyclic. It is given by invertible matrix. So this is a complex which is given by invertible matrix. So its torsion is just the inverse. Well, that's 1 times 1 matrix. So its torsion is just the inverse of this thing. So
Yes, 5T is T. So I better just write. This is equal to T squared times T minus 1. So the torsion is the inverse. It's 1 over T squared T minus 1. And since anyway we consider all torsions only up to some indeterminacy, the indeterminacy is multiplication by plus minus 1 and monomials. So with this indeterminacy, it is the same thing as 1 over T minus 1. So that's the computation of the torsion for the circle. So you observe already that this complex is acyclic, so the circle has no so this twisted homology is trivial. Okay, so that's a very important computation because you can do it directly. So are there any questions on this computation? This computation principle allows you to get accustomed to all these notions involved in the definition. All right. Now, the second example is the length spaces, which I mentioned in my first lecture. Now, I can give a different definition, of course, of length spaces. So, length spaces. Now, so that's example two. Now, let's take an integer p, which is greater than or equal to 2, and also certain numbers q1, qn. So these are integers, prime to p. Then, I define the length space L, P, Q1, and so on, Qn, in the following way. So that's going to be a length space. Length space. I consider the cyclic group, Cp, that's the cyclic group, which consists of all roots of unity of order P. Now this group acts on the 2n minus 1 dimensional sphere. So the this sphere I identify with tuples of n complex numbers such that the sum of the of the squares of the absolute values is equal to 1. So this cyclic group acts on this sphere by the following formula. The action of psi on such a tuple is equal to psi to the power q1 mz1 psi to the power q2 times z2 and so on psi to the power of qn times zn. You may see that if this tuple is determined at a point of the sphere, this is going to be a point on the sphere. This is a free action, I mean it has no fixed points. So you can take its quotient space, its quotient is going to be a manifold, and this quotient is the length space. So LP, Q1 and so on, Qn, is a quotient of S to n minus 1 by this action of the cyclic group.
What is P divided by?
They are prime to P. I take them otherwise the action may not be free. I want to have a free action without free points. For instance, if all of them are equal to P, then the action is trivial. Mm-hmm. And we don't want this. Now, what is interesting about the Lenz spaces is that some of them are homotopy equivalent, but not homeomorphic. And to see this, you can use the torsion. The classification of Lenz spaces, which is due to Franz. So the full classification is as follows. The theorem. Franz. Which says that two Lenz spaces. Yeah, of course the number P is detected by the Lenz space because the fundamental group of this space is CP. So it's a cyclic group of P elements. So P, it is just the number, the order of the fundamental group. Now, Franz proves that two Lenz spaces are homeomorphic. If and only if, well, there is an integer R such that RQI is equal up to sign RQI prime for all I up to permutation. Well, it means that you first permute this. I should have said it probably that, of course, the space doesn't depend on the order. If you permute this QI, then you get the same manifold. So the order doesn't matter. So they are homeomorphic if you can permute these Q primes such that RQI is going to be equal to RQI prime up to sine. And of course the integer should be prime to P.
By equal, do you mean congruent mod P?
Yes, that's right. Mod P.
Right.
Now, the proof is based on the theory of torsions. He computes certain torsion, namely which one. Now, the homology group of this Lenz space is equal to its fundamental group, and it is a cyclic group, CP. And now the group ring. Now the group ring of homologies is just a group ring. The ring of Laurent polynomials, one variable, modulo relation t to pi is equal to one. And you have many homomorphisms from this thing into the field. So the field F is going to be the field of complex numbers. And to fix such a homomorphism phi, you need to specify the image of T, which can be any root of unity of order P. So there are as many such phis as there are roots of unity. So this homomorphism phi psi transforms T into psi. So there are many such homomorphisms, namely P such homomorphism. Then one computes the torsion. Now that's a certain amount of actually one computes the torsion by explicitly finding a CW decomposition of Lenz space. I'm not going to do it. So the torsion of the Lenz space when phi is this phi psi is computed to be 1 over Side to Q1 minus 1 and side to Q2 minus 1 and so on and side to Qn minus 1. That's a number, a complex number. And I recall that the torsion is defined only with some indeterminacy up to multiplication by minus, plus minus, and complex roots of unity. So that's a direct computation. Then you have an algebraic question, right? You have two sequences, Q and Q prime, which give the same values for all side. And then there is a certain amount of number theory, non-trivial, but possible already at that time. And you can prove this that the sequence is determined by these numbers. All right. All right, now I want to say a few things before finishing this lecture. I want to say a few things about this indeterminacy. This is, of course, very annoying to always to have such kind of indeterminacy with you. How to get rid of it? It turns out that it is possible to define a torsion without any indeterminacy. But to this end, one should provide this, your space with this, a certain additional structure. So I'm going to say a few words about this additional structure. So the first point, in fact, we need two additional structures. The first one is a so-called homology orientation. And the second is so-called Euler structure. So you need two additional pieces of data. Homology orientation takes care of the sign indeterminacy, and Euler structure takes care of the indeterminacy by multiplications by multiplication by elements of H. So I consider again a finite CW complex. Now a homology orientation. Homology orientation is just an orientation of, say, real homologies of this vector space of real homologies. This is a finite dimensional vector space. It has two different orientations. One needs to fix one of them. So when you have a homology orientation, you can get rid of this sign and determinants. Well, that's a certain construction which which I can briefly explain. So what you do. So if you consider the definition of the torsion, you consider this chain complex, C phi star of x. And the sign and indeterminacy comes from the fact that you need to orient all cells, first of all, and you need to order all cells, secondly. So there are two sources of the sign and indeterminacy. So what you do, you consider at the same time just the standard cellular complex of X, no current, with coefficients in R. So this complex also has a basis determined by the same cells. So if you have a sequence of ordered oriented cells here, upstairs, you project them downstairs, they give you a basis here. Unfortunately, this complex is not acyclic. It is never acyclic. But what you can do, you can fix a basis in homology. H is the basis in real homology. Which determines this given orientation. So the space X is supposed to be homology oriented. That the vector space is oriented. You take a basis which determines this particular orientation. Now we can consider the torsion of this guy. This is a real number, non-zero real number, and what you need is only its sign. What you need is its sign, which is plus or minus 1. And then you multiply the torsion of this complex by this sign. Now you observe that the product does not depend on the choices you can make. Because what happens if you invert an orientation of a cell upstairs? Well, here you multiply by minus 1, of course. But the corresponding basis vector here also is multiplied by minus 1. So the distortion is also multiplied by minus 1, and the product doesn't change. Now, if you commute the vectors here, the corresponding cells, downstairs, also are permuted, so the product is preserved. So this product turns out to be to have no indeterminacy. Of course, if you take the opposite homology orientation, you get your torsion multiplied by minus 1. That is clear. So the torsion does depend on the choice of homology orientation. So in particular, you can play this game for length spaces, and the torsion which the Rademeister-Franz torsion distinguishes different homology orientations. Okay, so to get rid of the second indeterminacy, this indeterminacy here, you need another structure, which is called Euler structure, which I will describe the next time. All right, thank you. Some questions?
You could also, I suppose, get a unique thing by looking at fractional ideals in the values of the force.
Mm-hmm.
Fractional ideal for the factor of the map, right? Because the roots of unity are units. You get a unique thing, but it's not a field.
Well, on one hand, I want to keep field to
yeah.
not to lose too much information. On the other hand, I don't want to kill completely. In fact, what we are interested in is how the torsion depends on these additional structures.
On the Euler.
On this Euler, and that's a certain amount of information which we don't want to lose. We'll see it next time where. What is the role of this information?
Just to connect this up with the first lecture, the length space was defined a little differently.
Right, that was defined a little differently. So,
I guess n equals 2.
So when n equals 2, what you have is in this notation Lp, comma q, comma 1 is what was denoted Lp. For the first lecture. And you can always reduce yourself to when, to the case that the second q is equal to 1. Well, because of this condition, you multiply by something, so you make q2 equal to 1. So it is the same. By the way, I should maybe add just one sentence, that length spaces is a special case of quotients of the sphere by finite orthogonal groups. So such quotients are called spherical spaces, and there is a big science about them. And again, the topological part is handled by the torsions. That is, you can distinguish any two non-homeomorphic spherical spaces by the
by the group, of course, rejects, and the torsions. So the torsions have a complete, together with the group, they have complete information about this Fabre space.
The reason you think the best homology group, homology group, is to get three modules of the group.
You mean the
is that the reason?
The reason to we need to pass to the covering.
Yeah, a lot of the constructions seem to go for any group H, any abelian group H. But
you can take a quotient of the
And that will always work.
That can always work. Yeah. But in principle, if I took the maximal abelian covering, right? So the highest one. So all the others are induced from this one. So in a sense, all chain complexes which we can get doused, well, on the intermediate level, we can also get them on the upper level.
The chains, so
It is just the same complex. And they are going to be all free, yes, that's right.
Finite, in
that's right, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks.